From the KTOO newsroom, I'm Pablo Arauz Peña with your state and local news update. State officials announced today that the next tier of people eligible for vaccination against COVID-19 opens tomorrow. The news comes on the eve of Juneau's next vaccination clinic. Before the news, the clinic had some 275 appointments available.
We have actually already seen all of our appointments fill up.
That's Juneau Emergency Planning Chief Robert Barr. He says the remaining appointments were all booked shortly after the state's announcement.
It's better for the vaccine to be in people than it is to be in the freezer. So it's great that we're full for our clinics.
A wait list is available at juneau.org/vaccine for eligible people in case of cancellations, no-shows, and extra doses. Vaccine eligibility was limited to healthcare workers and people aged 65 and up. The new tier includes many educators and childcare workers, people aged 50 and up with high-risk medical conditions, people aged 50 and up who work in frontline essential industries, and people who live in congregate settings like prisons, shelters, or psychiatric facilities. Deputy City Manager Mila Cosgrove gave an update on testing following possible exposures among some school populations.
So far to date, we have not seen any additional positive cases come from those exposures.
Two of the potential exposures were identified last week. One was tied to a high school student who tested positive after playing in a basketball tournament. The other was a student who attended an in-person class at Auk Bay Elementary School. Cosgrove says test results are still pending for a few of the people potentially exposed. Governor Mike Dunleavy's latest public health disaster declaration for the pandemic is set to expire on Sunday, which could limit the response of Juneau and other municipalities. Juneau City Manager Rory Watts says the Juneau Assembly intends to pass a local emergency ordinance to keep things consistent after the governor's declaration lapses.
Yes, the governor's emergency is going to expire. Yes, the legislature hasn't gotten organized to implement the authorizing legislation. But at the municipality, we're going to pass a local ordinance that effectively mirrors the state's approach. I think for the Juneau public, it is a message of consistency and stability.
The ordinance would maintain travelers' COVID-related obligations when they come to Juneau. The Assembly is expected to vote on it Thursday. And when Governor Mike Dunleavy's pandemic disaster declaration expires this weekend, the state will lose a wide range of special powers to respond to COVID-19. At stake is everything from the state's plan for distributing vaccines to the state requirement for many air travelers to be tested for the coronavirus. Legislative leaders want to avoid harming the state's response to the pandemic, but they face obstacles to resolving the dilemma. Alaska Public Media and KTOO's Andrew Kitchenman reports.
Governor Dunleavy has issued four disaster declarations for the COVID-19 public health emergency since last March, and the last is set to expire at the end of the day on Sunday. But his office says he can't extend it this time without approval from the legislature, which is in session for the first time since the original declaration came out. So his administration has put forward a bill that includes the extension. Heidi Hedberg is the director of public health for the state. She says the disaster declaration gives the state the legal authority to distribute the vaccines, as well as some medical treatments for COVID-19.
We need the authority from the public health emergency to allocate to the communities. Without that authority, we are in a very precarious situation when the public health emergency expires.
She says the state's authority to prioritize vaccines for at-risk groups would also end if the declaration ends. She also says communities that do not have health powers will be, quote, left behind. Some consequences of the declaration ending are unclear. State health officials are still determining exactly what the state could legally do to distribute vaccines without the order. But they anticipate that without statewide mandates for testing related to air travel, there would be a patchwork of local restrictions. But even with the high stakes, the declaration could expire. There are a couple of obstacles in the way. The most immediate is that the House cannot consider any legislation right now because it hasn't organized. It split 20-20 between two caucuses. There isn't a permanent speaker to refer bills to committees, and there are no committees to refer bills to. Fairbanks Representative Steve Thompson is the House Republicans' pick to become Speaker. He says the House may have to pass the measure after the declaration expires and apply it retroactively to the expiration date.
But there is pressure that needs to be done. That's part of the reasons we were elected to come down here, was to do the state's work. We have to address things, and that's one of the items that I think is pretty important to everybody. And that's another reason that we should get organized and do our work, what we were elected for.
Dillingham Independent Representative Bryce Edgman is the leader of the other House caucus. On Tuesday afternoon, he said he and other legislative leaders were working with legal experts on an alternative to a bill. They were writing a document that Edgman hopes a majority of House members would sign that would support the governor's ability to extend the disaster declaration.
Even if we were organized at this point, we would be very challenged to get a bill through in time to meet the February 14th deadline. So we're having to look at other avenues, and I think in the end we're going to be successful at least to temporarily continue the disaster declaration.
The unorganized House is just one obstacle to the extension. Another is that some legislators don't agree with it. They've been hearing from constituents who are opposed to local mask mandates, school closures, and restrictions on businesses, and who see the end of the state declaration as a step to returning things to normal. The potential problems extend beyond the state government. Along with giving the state specific powers spelled out in state law, the declaration also frees up hospitals and other healthcare providers to respond. That's according to Jared Kosin, the president of the Alaska State Hospital and Nursing Home Association. He says federal waivers that allow hospitals to change emergency department procedures and make other changes due to the pandemic would end without the declaration.
If we lose the federal blanket waivers, the consequences will be real and they will be significant.
Sharing hospitals' concerns about the expiration are healthcare providers in rural Alaska. Alaska Native Health Board President Vernay Berner notes that Alaska Natives make up a disproportionate share of the COVID-19 cases and deaths. Contributing to the problem, she says, are crowded multi-generational homes, a lack of running water and sanitation, and distance from advanced medical care. And she says ending the disaster declaration would add to that list.
The public health emergency has been critical for helping us respond to and provide care to our members.
In addition, municipal leaders across the state are scrambling to understand the impact on their residents if the declaration expires. The arguments for the extension appear to be having an impact. Despite a majority of the Senate Health and Social Services Committee initially expressing skepticism, the committee voted to move the bill forward on Tuesday. The committee amended it so that the extension would end on March 15th, rather than September 30th, as the governor had asked. Senate President Peter Michicki, a Soldotna Republican, wants to limit the bill's provisions.
We don't want the people of Alaska thinking that the Senate is not going to support something that requires passage because those tools are necessary. It just may be far more narrow.
The entire Senate could vote on the bill by the end of the week. In Juneau, I'm Andrew Kitchenman.
In other news, several million dollars in pandemic relief money is still available to Thlinkit and Haida tribal members. There are two relief programs worth up to $1,000 in one-time payments to households with tribal members financially impacted by the pandemic. Tribal members are eligible regardless of their income. The Family Home and Utility Expenses Program is for rent, mortgage, and utilities, and the Family Education and Retraining Expenses Program is intended to help with homeschooling, loss of employment, or for new job-related education. Melinda Douglas coordinates these programs for the Central Council of Thlinkit and Haida Indian Tribes of Alaska. Douglas says the Central Council set aside $8 million for these relief programs funded by last year's Federal CARES Act. About a third has been paid out so far to a about 3,500 households. Douglas says about 200 pending applications they received months ago are incomplete or require some follow-up. Her office hasn't been able to reach those applicants. And the application period is open until December. It was extended after Congress passed a new relief bill at the end of 2020. You're listening to KTOO News in Juneau, and I'm Pablo Arauz Peña.